Okay, so just before we actually begin the Mishnah, I just wanted to dedicate today's learning in Li'ilui Nishmas Nachman Daniel Ben Ari Tzvi, Donnie Morris. I'm sure many of you saw his levaya yesterday. He was one of our youth leaders in Beth Abraham last year. So, it was, it's a little bit of a hard day. Okay, so we're going to start from the beginning of the second parak, Chav Pei Zamed Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Barishona kom yisharotza lisrom es hamizbeach torim, uvizman shehin merubin, rutzin v'olin bakevesh, kol akodem es chaveru ba'arba amos zacha, v'im hayu shnein shavin, hamemuna omer lehen hatzbiu, umahin motzien, achas u'shnayim, v'in motzien agudal b'mikdash. The Mishnah tells us the following. Back in the day, initially, any Kohen who wanted to participate in the Trumas HaDeshen, clearing the ashes off the Mizbeach, anyone could come and do it. It was open to anybody. But if there were multiple Kohanim who wanted the privilege of the Trumas HaDeshen, then initially they used to have a race up the ramp of the Mizbeach, and whoever would get to within four amos, again, the Gemara is going to clarify what this means, whoever gets to within four amos of the Mizbeach, they would be the one to merit the Trumas HaDeshen. And if both of them were, if the race ended in a tie, essentially, then the head Kohen would basically call the Kohanim together, and they would stick out either one or two fingers, they would count all the fingers, and then the number that was landed on was the person who was Zocha to the Trumas HaDeshen. And the Mishnah adds, and again, we'll see why this is in the Gemara, you're also not allowed to stick out your thumb during the count of the fingers. Again, we'll see, because if you stick your thumb out, you could end up cheating, you could end up, messing around with the count, with the system. So again, we'll explain more about this in the Gemara. Then the Mishnah says, Maisa shehayu shneim shavin, v'ratzin v'olin bakevesh, v'dachav echad mehenes chaveru, v'nafal v'nishbara raglu. So there was an incident where two Kohanim, as we mentioned before, were racing up the Mizbeach. One Kohen saw the other guy was starting to pull away and going to win, so he shoved the other guy off the ramp, and the Kohen broke his leg. So once the Bezdin realized that this was actually dangerous to race up the Mizbeach, they said, okay, now we're just going to have lots. Now we're just going to cast lots. We're going to have a lottery. Whoever wins the lottery is going to be Zocha to the Trumas HaDeshen. And the Mishnah says, Arba payaso sayusham bezeh payas arishon. In fact, throughout the course of the day, there were four separate lotteries that occurred to basically divvy up the different jobs that the Kohanim would get. This was the first lottery of the day. So the Gemara asks, V'hame ikara maitayma lo takinu la Rabbanan payasa. Why didn't the Rabbanan institute the lottery from the outset? In other words, what was the hava mean to even have this race initially? Why didn't they just cut the race out altogether and just start with the lottery? So the Gemara says, no. Meikara savor kevan da avodas layla hi lo chashiva lehu v'lo asu, kevan da chazu de ka'asu v'asu li de sakana takinu. Initially, the Rabbanim thought that no one's going to show up, right? Because the Trumas HaDeshen is so early in the morning. It's even before the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar. It's before Alos HaShachar. It's so early in the morning. So who's going to be crazy enough to come to the Trumas HaDeshen? Once they realized that there were Kohanim who were coming anyway, and now there was a race, and now there's going to be Sakana because one guy shoved the other guy off the ramp. So now they said, okay, now we have to institute a lottery. So the Gemara asks, V'harei varmu fedarim da'avodas laylahi visa kinula Rabbanim payasa. The Gemara says, but by that logic, what about when it comes to the lotteries that were cast to divvy up the honor, the privilege of offering up the various fats and limbs and intestines of the karbanos? That's an avoda that was done at night, and Chazal never had any sort of a race up to the intestines, from the beginning. They just cut out any sort of race, and they went straight for the lottery. But why? In other words, why didn't they have some kind of a preliminary thing before they instituted a lottery, like by the Trumas HaDeshen? So the Gemara says, no, so favoda diyamamahi, because in reality, offering up the evarim and the pedarim, the fats, the limbs, the innards of the karbanos, was really the conclusion of a daytime avoda, because the karbanos, the shechita and the zurika, was all done by day, but the offering up of the fats and the limbs was done at night. So since it was technically a daytime avoda, it was subject to a regular lottery like any other daytime avoda. So the Gemara says, okay, but hainami tchilas avoda diyamamahi, da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, kidesh yadav l'srumas HaDeshen, l'macharin sarach l'kadesh, shekvar kidesh mitchilas avoda. But by that logic, the Trumas HaDeshen should also qualify as a beginning of the day avoda, because Rabbi Yochanan tells us that if a Kohen sanctified his hands, he washed his hands from the kior for the Trumas HaDeshen, which again, the Trumas HaDeshen is happening very early in the morning, far before, much before sunrise. So the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yochanan says, he doesn't need to wash his hands subsequently for the avoda he's going to do the following morning, the next day. Why? Because his hands were already sanctified mitchilas avoda, from the beginning of the avoda. The implication is that the Trumas HaDeshen is considered the first avoda of the day. It's considered to be a daytime full-time avoda. And again, by that logic, then Chazal should have just instituted a lottery right away and not had this race. In other words, they should have thought people were going to show up to the, to the Trumas HaDeshen, to which the Gemara says, no, Ema Shekvar Kidesh Mitchila La'avoda. What the Gemara really meant to say was that, no, Trumas HaDeshen is not a daytime avoda. It's really the end of the night avoda. But since the Kohen already washed his hands from the Kiyur for the Trumas HaDeshen, he need not wash his hands again later on. It's not because it's considered the same day. It's considered to be a new day when he's doing the avoda the following morning, a few hours later. But since his hands were already washed anyway a few hours ago, and he wasn't distracted, and his hands didn't become tummy, he didn't touch anything that he wasn't supposed to touch, therefore, that's the reason why he doesn't have to wash his hands. That's one approach. Then the Gemara says, Iko Dam, right?
When did he wash his hands?
He washed his hands before.
It was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, let's say, so he got up 2:30 and washed his
hands. Yeah, he washed his hands. So as long as he was still awake for the rest of the day, then it wouldn't matter. In other words, even though technically, the Karban Tomich or Shachar happened halachically the next day, but it was only a few hours later, and since he wasn't distracted, his hands were still tar, so it was fine. There was no reason for him to wash his hands again. Okay, then the Gemara says, Ika Dam, right? Meikara Savor, Kevan de Ika Ones, Shena Lo Asu, Kevan de Chazu de Asu, Vika Asu Nami, Lide Sakana, Takinu La Rabbanam Payasu. Now the Gemara gives an alternate reason why Chazal did not initially institute a lottery for the Trumas HaDeshen, which is Chazal figured, like we said before, no one was going to show up. It was so early in the morning, no one was going to be there. Once they realized people were coming, then there was sakana involved, then they felt the need to institute a lottery. So the Gemara asks, what about the offering of the fats and the limbs? Why are we not concerned that people are not going to make it to that also because it's so early in the morning? The Gemara says, no, shiny migna mimeka, because the Evarimu Pidarim were offered late at night. So it's one thing for a guy to stay up late. That's not so hard. To wake up early is a lot harder, right? So the Gemara says, because that's the case, therefore Chazal initially did not institute a lottery for the Trumas HaDeshen because they figured no one was going to come because it was so early in the morning. Once they realized people were showing up, then they had to institute a lottery. So then the Gemara asks, V'sakanta l'hachki sahavai, takanta l'hachki sahavai, desanya, misha zacha b'trumas HaDeshen, zacha b'sidur ma'aracho v'shnei gzirei etzim. The Gemara asks, but the reason why the lottery was instituted for the Trumas HaDeshen was not because there was because people were racing up the Mizbeach and were hurting other people. That's not why the Takana was instituted. The reason why a lottery was instituted, says the Gemara, is because Chazal wanted to basically give multiple zechuyos, multiple merits and multiple privileges to the Kohen who won the Trumas HaDeshen. Not only would he merit in the Trumas HaDeshen, but he would also merit in arranging the wood on the Mizbeach for the Maracha, for the pyre, and arranging the two logs of wood on top of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says that's why the lottery was instituted, not because there was this concern of Kohen shoving each other off the ramp, to which the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Ashi, Shtei Takanos Havu, Meikara Savur Lo Asu, Kevan De Chazu De Ka Asu, V'asu Nami Lidei Sakana Takinu La Payasa, Kevan De Sakinu La Payasa Lo Asu, Amri Mi Yemer De Misramilan, Hadar Takinu Lahu Misha Zacha Bistrumas HaDeshen, Yiske Besidur Maracho Vishnik Zireis, and Kihichi Denesu Vinifaisu. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that initially there was no lottery because they thought no one was going to show up. Then when they realized people were coming, they made a lottery. But the problem was that after they made the lottery, they realized that no one was showing up because they figured, why am I going to wake up at 3 a.m. for the 20% chance of winning of getting the privilege of doing the Trumas HaDeshen, right? Because now if there's a lottery, there's a good chance I'm not going to win. So Chazal wanted to incentivize people to still wake up early by saying, if you win the Trumas HaDeshen, you'll also merit to put the logs on the Mizbeach and to arrange the Ma'aracha. So they basically kind of threw that in almost as like a consolation prize. Like, if you get up early enough and you win the lottery, so then we're going to throw in these other things, almost as a bonus. Okay.
Rabbi, before they did the lottery, from a practical point of view, the Trumas HaDeshen took place at what point? When everything that was on the top of the Mizbeach was fully burned?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was the whole point. The Trumas HaDeshen was to sweep away the ashes. So all the fats, the limbs, everything that has been burning overnight was now a pile of ashes, and they would come and sweep the Mizbeach, right? That's what they would do.
So let's say it's finished. So if I decided I'm going to get up 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, was there a set time in effect where they said, okay, everybody line up?
It was pretty much before, meaning once the lottery...
Like 1 in the morning there.
Once the lottery was instituted, so then there was a set time. They would. I mean, right, I don't know the exact time.
Before the lottery.
Oh, I would assume it was just the first guy who showed up. I would imagine. But again, I don't know. Meaning, if a guy showed up at 11 o'clock at night, that was probably too early. He had to be somewhere around Alos HaShachar. I would think it would probably have to be somewhere around there. Okay, so then the Mishnah told us of Isman Shehin Merubin. We said that if there were multiple Kohanim, again, this was before the lottery was instituted, they would have a race up the Mizbeach, and whoever got to within 4 amos of the Mizbeach would win. So the Gemara clarifies, Amar of Papa, Pshita li arba amos de aralo, rutsin v'olin v'kevesh tenan. So when the Mishnah says that the Kohen who gets to within 4 amos wins the race, it obviously doesn't mean the 4 amos on the ground, because the Mishnah says rutsin v'olin v'kevesh. He's running up the ramp of the Mizbeach. So he's clearly not on the ground when he wins this race. Then the Gemara says, kamaisa namilo, rutsin v'olin v'kevesh tenan v'hadar kol akodem es chavero. Then also, it cannot be referring to the initial 4 amos of the ramp of the Mizbeach. And remember, the ramp was 32 amos to lead up to the Mizbeach. It can't be the initial 4 amos, because the Mishnah says first they started running, and then it says whoever beat his friend by 4 amos would win the Trumas Hadesh. So obviously you're not in the initial 4 amos of the ramp. The Beine Beine Namilo, the Lo Mesayma Milsa. It also can't be just an arbitrary 4 amos in the middle of the ramp, because that's just undefined. You have no idea where that is. That could be at the 10th Amma, at the 13th Amma, at the 18th Amma. You have no idea where that is. So finally, the Gemara says, Pshita li Degabi Mizbeach Tanan. It must be that the Mishnah was referring to the final 4 amos right adjacent to the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara has a technical question. Boyer of Papa, Arba Amos Sha'amru, Bahade Ama Yesod Va'ama Sovev, O Dilma Bar Me Ama Yesod Va'ama Sovev, Teku. The Gemara leaves us an unresolved question. When calculating these 4 amos that are adjacent to the Mizbeach itself, does that take into consideration that additional Ama of the base and also of the ledge of the Mizbeach? Or not? Now, what would be the practical difference? So the difference basically is 2 amos. In other words, do we say that you win the race when you get to 4 amos away from the Mizbeach proper? Or no? Maybe we also have to factor in that Amma of the base and the Amma of the ledge, so you would actually have to be within 2 amos of the Mizbeach in order to win the race. So the Gemara leaves it as an unresolved question. Okay, then we said, we said in the Mishnah that if 2 Kohanim were neck and neck, if they were tied, so then the other Kohen would come and say, stick out your fingers, and they would count fingers, and then whichever number was landed on, that was the Kohen who would win the lottery. So the Gemara says, Tana, Hotziu etzbeosechem leminyan. So as the Mishnah told us, they would stick out their fingers, they would count the fingers, and whoever landed on, he would be the one to do the Trumas Hadesh. So the Gemara asks, Vinaninu ledidu, why do they have to count their fingers? Why couldn't they just count the people? So the Gemara says, Misayel le Rabbi Yitzchak, to Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Asher limno ses Yisrael, afilu lidvar mitzvah, dechsev, as we know, one is not permitted to count. One is not permitted to count Jews, as we're going to talk a lot about in next week's parsha, Parshas Bamidbar. Right, there's an isser to count the Jewish people. How does the Gemara know that? Gemara derives it from a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that says that Shaul counted the people bebazek. Bazek, the Gemara assumes, are pieces of pottery, shards of pottery. So the Gemara says, why couldn't he just count the people normally? The answer is, because you can't count people by head. So the Gemara asks, Maskeflo Ravashi, Mimai dahai bezek, lishna de mivzaku, vidilma shma de masahu kidichsevayim tsu adoni bezek. How do you know the word bezek in the pasuk means a piece of pottery? Maybe it's just the name of a city. The Gemara says, you're right. Ela mehacha, vayshama Shaul esa'am, vayifkidem batlaim. Because we have another pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that talks about Shaul counting the people using sheep. Again, why couldn't he just count the people normally? Because again, as we just mentioned, you're not allowed to count people by head. Then the Gemara says,
well, I don't understand. Yeah. They put up the fingers of one guy, weeny, meeny, miny,
moe? Yeah, pretty much. He would, yeah, in other words, yeah, exactly. He would have some number in his head, and then he would just go around counting. Yeah, exactly. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol hamona es Yisrael over belav, shene emar v'hayom mispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayom asher lo yimad, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar over b'shnei lavin, shene emar lo yimad v'lo yisafir. The Gemara quotes a pasuk actually from next week's Haftorah, from Hosea, which says that there's an Isser to count the Jewish people. Maybe it's one Isser, maybe it's two Isserim, depending on how you understand the pasuk in Hosea. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini, Rabbi Yonas and Rame, k'siv v'hayom mispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayam, u'ksiv asher lo yimad v'lo yisafir. The pasuk itself in Hosea, the Gemara is referencing, seems to actually contradict itself. Because first the pasuk says that the Jewish people are going to be as numerous as the sand by the sea, and then it says that you can't count them. So which one is it? Or in other words, are they countable or not? So the Gemara gives two answers. Lo kasha, kan bizman she Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom, kan bizman she ein osin ritzono shel makom. So one possibility is that if we're doing Ratzon Hashem, we're going to be so numerous that we're not going to be able to be counted. If we're not doing Ratzon Hashem, then our numbers are going to be more limited. Whereas Rebbe Yomer The second answer is that yes, human beings cannot count Bnei Yisrael, but Hashem can still count us. Once a person is appointed as a leader over the tzibur, he becomes wealthy. How do we know that? First it says that Shaul counted the people using just pieces of pottery, but at the end he's counting the people using sheep. So obviously his financial standing increased if he could afford to count all of Klal Yisrael with sheep and not just with pieces of pottery. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'dilma mi didu? Maybe the sheep were supplied by the Jewish people themselves. How do you know that the sheep belonged to Shaul? The Gemara says, in Cain, my revusa denosa. If that were the case, that the sheep were just supplied by the Jewish people, then what's the chiddush? Like, who cares if the Jewish people were supplying sheep for Shaul to use to count them? Why would the pasuk even bother telling that to us? The fact that it specifies that he used to count them with pottery, and now he's counting them with sheep, is an indication that his financial standing went up after he became the king. That fine. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk Vayarev Banachal, so it says that Shaul was quarreling with them in the valley. Amar of Mani al Iske Nachal. The Shah Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leShaul, basically, Shaul was had misplaced sympathy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Shaul to wipe out Amalek, but Shaul says, I can't do that because the people are innocent, they didn't do anything. You know, why should I kill the animals? Why can't we offer them as karbanos instead? Why should I kill the babies of Amalek, right? In other words, what do they do? So Shaul basically said, basically defied the will of Hashem because he said, I'm not listening to what you're going to tell me because I think it's immoral. And on the other hand, Shaul also went against Hashem's will in a different way, in another incident, when he commanded Doeg to wipe out the Kohanim in the city of Nov. So there also, Hashem says, like, what are you doing? You're in other words, basically, everything Shaul did in these two stories was the opposite of what it should have been. He should have wiped out Amalek, instead he had sympathy on them, and he should not have wiped out the Kohanim in the city of Nov, instead he did. And in that context, the Gemara says that a baskol came out and cited a pasuk from Koheles that says, Al tihit sadik harbe, and then it also says, Al tirsha harbe. Don't be too righteous, and don't be too wicked. So don't be too righteous means don't be firmer than Hashem. Hashem tells you to wipe out Amalek, don't start making cheshbonos and saying, no, you know, we shouldn't kill them, we shouldn't wipe them out. On the other hand, also don't be too evil, don't start wiping out the Kohanim in the city of Nov. That's what the Gemara says was the sin of Shaul. And again, that's a reference to the Egla Arufa that's offered in the Nachal, that's offered in the stream, Nachal Esan. That's why the Gemara says that's what the pasuk means when it says Vayara Banachal. He was quarreling with Hashem regarding wiping out Amalek, because he says if you have a murder victim and you have to bring an Egla Arufa for one guy who was killed, so what right do I have to go wipe out the people of Amalek? So Hashem said that was Shaul's misplaced sympathy. And fine. So something Gemara says, Amar Afuna, Kama lo chali velo margish gavra demari sayeh. Look how little a person who places their faith in Hashem has to fear. If a person has a Muna in Hashem, he doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to be afraid of anything. How do we know that? Shol ba'achas va'olsolo, David b'shtayim v'lo olsolo. Shol ba'achas ma'i, ma'isa da'agag. So the Gemara says, Shol did one Avera, and that Avera cost him everything. It cost him his entire Malchus, whereas David did two things wrong, and he was still able to remain the king. What was Shol's Avera? So that's what we just cited. The fact that he let Agag and he let Amalek live, that was his terrible Avera that cost him the Malchus. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Didn't we just say that he did another Avera, that he wiped out the Kohanim of the city of Nov wiped out? So the Gemara says, no, Amaisa da Agaksiv, Nichamti kihim lachti as Shaul lemelech, because the context in which Hashem said, I regret having made Shaul the king, he specifically said that after his failure to wipe out Amalek. Then the Gemara says, David b'shtayim ma'ininu, what were the two sins that David committed? The Gemara says, Du'uriyah v'dahasasa. The first sin was sending Uriah Hachiti, purposely having him killed on the front lines, and the second was the fact that he counted Bnei Yisrael by head, which as we'll see in a second, led to a very serious plague that wiped out much of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What about the fact that as a result of having Uriah killed, he went ahead and married Batsheva? So the Gemara says, no, Yeled Amnon Tamar Avshalom. David was actually punished for the incident with Batsheva, as the Gemara cites a pasuk that says that the lamb is going to be paid back four times for the sin that he did, and that's what the pasuk refers to. Yeled was a child that David had had initially that died, you know, as a very young baby. Amnon was killed in battle. Tamar, with his daughter, was raped by her half-brother Amnon. And Avshalom, of course, we know, also stood up and rebelled against David. So those four incidences were the punishment for what David did with Bathsheba. So the Gemara says, okay, but Hasam Nami Ifrumine, Dichsiv Ayitin Hashem Dever Ba'am Minha Boker Va'ar Is Moid. But by that logic, why are we counting the sin of David counting Bnei Yisrael? He too was punished for that, as we just mentioned, because there was a terrible plague that befell Klal Yisrael as a result. So the Gemara says, no, Hasam Lo Ifru Umi Gufe, because that plague did not affect David personally. It affected Klal Yisrael, but David himself was not affected by the plague. So the Gemara says, okay, Hasam Nami Lo Ifru Umi Gufe. But again, what about in the case of his kids dying? So his kids dying or rebelling against him or raping Tamar or whatever, those things did not affect him personally. They affected his kids. So the Gemara says, no, Laye Ifru Umi Gufe. Dabar Rav Yehuda Marav, Shisha Chadashim Nitzara David, Pirshu Emenu Sanhedrin, Nistalka Emenu Shchina, Dechsev, Yashuvu Li Reyecha, Vyodee, Devosecha, Uchsev Hashiva Li Sison Yeshacha. The Gemara says, no, David too was affected personally by these Averos. He got Saras for 6 months, and the Sanhedrin separated from him, and the Shchina left him. So again, the Gemara says, David himself was also personally affected by these Averos. To which the Gemara then asks, Vilha Amar Rav, Kibo David Lashon Hara. Why are we saying that these were the only sins that David committed? The Gemara tells us that David accepted Lashon Hara regarding Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was one of the sons of Shaul. He also was a big Talmud Chacham and was the Rebbe of David. And the Gemara says that Siva, who was one of the servants, spoke Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, claiming that he was happy at the downfall of David. And according to the Shita in the Gemara, David believed that. So why is that not counted as one of David's sins? So the Gemara says, no, Kishmuel Domer lo kibo David Lashon Hara, because Shmuel happens to disagree with that. Rav holds that David accepted Lashon Hara, but Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that he did not believe a word that Siva told him. So the Gemara says, okay, well, Rav Nami de Amar kibo David Lashon Hara, ha'ifru umine. De Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, ishash Amar lo David lo Mephibosheth, Amar tiata vitziva tachliku es asadeh, yata baskov Amar lo rechavim yeravim yachliku es amalchus. And even according to Rav, that David did accept Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, he was actually punished for that. Because when the Pasuk says, David tells Mephibosheth that you're gonna divvy up the estate with Tziva, because again, according to Rav, he was basically doing that to spite Mephibosheth because he thought Mephibosheth was happy at his downfall. So Abasko came out and said, just as you're dividing up the land between Mephibosheth and Tziva, so too your descendants Rechavim and Yeravim are gonna split the Malchei Yisrael. So that was David's punishment for what he did. If you hold that he accepted Lashon Hara, fine. Then the pasuk says Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcha. The pasuk says that Shaul became king at 1 year old. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Kiven Shana Shalot Tam Tamchen. Again, it's not literal. It just means that he was as if he was 1 year old in that he never sinned at that point. So the Gemara asks, Maskif Lo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ve'ima Kiven Shana Shemaluch Lach Matit Uvitzoa. Why are we assuming that what the Pasuk means that Shaul was free of sin? Maybe he was like a 1 year old in that he was full of mud and feces and things that are dirty that babies roll around in. So the Gemara says, Achvile Rav Nachman Tziyuta Bechelme. Rav Nachman, after saying such a thing about Shaul that night, he had a terrifying dream. He had this horrible dream because he had spoken this way about Shaul HaMelech. So the Gemara says, Amar na nesi lachem atzmo Shaul ben Kish. He, you know, the next day after having this nightmare, he says, you know, I beg of you to forgive me the bones of Shaul. So the Gemara says, Hadar chazas siyuta bechelme. The Gemara says that it didn't help. He still had another terrifying dream. Amar na nesi lachem atzmo Shaul ben Kish Melech Yisrael. But once he called him Shaul, the king of Yisrael, so then his dreams went away. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel mipneima lo nimshecha malchus beis Shaul. The Gemara says something very interesting here. The reason why Shaul's Malchus did not last very long is because he didn't have any quote-unquote skeletons in his closet. In other words, the Gemara says that for a person to be an effective leader over the Tzibor, it should be a person who comes from not such great lineage, from shady, you know, not great lineage. Why? What's the reason for that? Because if a guy gets too high on his horse, he thinks he's all that. So we're going to start pointing to all the misdemeanors that his ancestors did. So Shaul came from perfect lineage. So there was no rebuke to say to Shaul, and that's what ultimately did him in. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Mipneima Nena Shaul Mipnei Shemachal Kvodo Shneemar Uvnei Vilial Amru Mayo Shinu Zev Vayvazuhu Velo Heviu Lo Mincha Vayhi Kemacharish Uchsev Vayal Nachashu Amoni Vayichan Al Yovesh Gilad. The Gemara says that one of the reasons why Shaul was punished is because he didn't stand up for his own honor. He was the king. The king is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. The psukim say that there were these wayward people who started, you know, basically embarrassing and bad mouthing Shaul. And the pasuk says he just stayed silent. The Gemara says that was not the appropriate response. He should have stood up to them. And in fact, because he did not stand up to them, Nachash HaAmoni came up and started encamping and conquering the city of Yavesh Gilad because of Shaul's silence in the face of those who were degrading him. Any Talmud Chacham who does not display vengeance and bear grudges like a snake is not a real Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Didn't we read in last week's Parsha that a person is not allowed to bear a grudge, or sorry, Parsha's Kedosha, a person is not allowed to bear a grudge or take revenge? The Gemara says, no, who bimamon who dichsev, that issue of not bearing a grudge or taking revenge is only monetary, meaning Tisanya, Izuhi Nakima, the Izuhi Natira, Nikima, Amarlo Hashilini Magal Kha Amarlo Lav, Lamachar Amarlohu Hashilini Kardumcha, Amarlo Ini Mashulcha Kiderak Shalo Hishaltani, Zohi Nakima, the Izuhi Natira, Amarle Hashilini Kardumcha, Amarle Lo, Lamachar Amarle Hashilini Khalukha, Amarlo, Heilach Ini Kemoscha, Shalo Hishaltani, Zohi Natira. The Gemara is a very famous idea that Rashi and Kedoshim quotes, right? The difference between revenge and bearing a grudge, right? In other words, revenge basically means if one guy asks to borrow your shovel and he says no, and then the next day you also say no, that's revenge. Whereas bearing a grudge is where you say, I'll give it to you, but you know, I'm better than you. I'm not like you. I'm going to lend it to you even though you wouldn't lend it to me. So fine. So the Gemara asks, Vitzaira de Gufalo, is it really true that there's no issur of revenge or bearing grudges for something personal, bodily? It's only for monetary things. Vahatanya, Hanelovin, Ve'enan Ovin, Shomin, Cherpasan, Ve'enan Meshivin, Osin, Mayavu, Smichin, Bisurin, Aleana, Kosov, Omer, Ve'ohavav, Kitseis, Hashemesh, Begvura. So the Gemara says that those people who are embarrassed and don't respond, they hear people degrading them, they don't say anything, they only serve Hashem out of love, and they rejoice in their pain, they rejoice in their Yisurin. The Pasuk says about them in Sefer Shoftim that those who love Hashem are like the strength of the sun when it's going out. So it says, don't you see from here that a person also is not supposed to bear grudges and take revenge even for things that are not necessarily monetary in nature? The Gemara says, you're right. La'olam dinukit le'belibe. Really, the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham has to keep everything pent up. So if someone is degrading him, in other words, he can't speak it out, but he's allowed to keep it pent up in his heart, all the things that people are saying about him. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Doesn't the Gemara say that a person who's able to forego all of that, who's able to say, I don't care about that which people are speaking about me, so Hashem will do the same with him. Hashem will say, you know what, I don't care about all of your averos. The Gemara says, no, the mefaisu le mefais, that's only the case, that's only required if the guy actually tried to appease you, the guy actually tried to do tshuva. If a guy was just bad-mouthing a Talmud Chacham and wouldn't stop and he refused to give in, so then the Talmud Chacham is, again, he can't verbally, say anything back to him, but he's allowed to keep things pent up inside of him unless the person actually does tshuva.